Hello and welcome everyone to RE Radar. This is the third episode of RE Radar. So if you have not listened to episode one or two, let me just tell you a bit about RE Radar. I made this podcast to be kind of the one-stop shop for anyone, whether you're a buyer, seller, or just like a real estate investor, or someone just interested in real estate itself. I've made this podcast to be that educational tool for you and a resource for you guys to use. And one of the things I said I'd be doing is, as a resource, I'd bring on other real estate industry professionals. And that is what I've done today, as I'm joined by the lovely Laura Noyes.
Thanks for having me, Nathan. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. And so Laura is at John L. Scott as well. She's at the same office as me here in West Seattle. Laura is in her fourth year of real estate. She's been a part of over 50 transactions. And today, her and I are just going to be talking about a few misconceptions that kind of get put on realtors and kind of things that people don't understand about what we do as real estate brokers. Because at least in my opinion, I don't know about you, but I feel like if you were to just stop someone on the street and be like, what does a real estate broker do? They'd be like,
drive around houses.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't be able to tell the half of what we do. And so I want to bring this guest here, Laura, as another realtor, and be able to kind of shed some light on what we do and what our job is. So first thing here that we'll talk about is the misconception about how realtors make a bunch of money, how we do just no work, really. We don't do much for you guys, for your clients, but we just rake in a bunch of money and it's easy. What do you say to that?
I would say that it's possible to make a boatload of money in real estate. But on average, I've seen varying reports that the average real estate agent across the country makes anywhere between 48 and 100K a year. Yeah, 100K sounds like a pretty decent amount of money. I think in most states, you know, in Seattle, it's still a little tight on a living wage. But yeah, I don't think it's hard to do real estate. Anyone can do it, but there is a lot to learn. For some context, let's say someone makes $100,000 in real estate in commissions. A lot of people don't realize that we have commission splits with our offices, which again, all of this varies, but let's say for the commission split, you pay $25,000. To get 100% of your commissions. You're paying $25,000 a year. That's already putting up $75,000. Then you put 30% towards taxes, because as a real estate agent, we are independent contractors. We have to pay self-employment tax, which is Social Security and Medicaid, and income tax. So we're paying a lot more taxes than anyone who's a W-2, 9-to-5 employee. Right there, you're cutting the $100,000 income in half, more than that. And that doesn't even include other things like health insurance. If you don't have a spouse or a parent, whose insurance you can be on, it doesn't cover all of our self-marketing, our listing marketing. If we have a listing, we pay for the photography, we pay for all of these things. We have to buy our own signs. We have to pay for all of our gas, driving around, you know, working with buyers. We have dues. We have our Realtor Association dues.
And that is steep, right there.
Yeah, that's like closer to $1,000 a year.
I think it was like 880, maybe, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, they're pretty high.
Yeah.
And that's
just one of those dues.
Exactly. Then we have our local multiple listing service that we have to pay. We have to pay for our super boxes to access the listings.
All desk fees.
Yeah, we've got our desk fees. That's just some of the expenses that we have. Yeah. So, you know, $100,000 sounds great, but there's a lot.
It's just a matter of the fees, essentially, I think, are a big point that the common person doesn't know. Because that's something you only really realize when you get into the business, with how much marketing fees you have to do, all the back end work that doesn't get realized by the clients or by other people who aren't involved in the real estate industry. I think that's what it really comes down to. Just getting that idea out there to people that real estate brokers do a lot on their own. Like, they have to come up with a lot of money to help with your listings, to help buyer brokers with, like you said, the gas and just all those fees.
Yeah. And we put in all the work and have to wait to get paid till everything closes.
Yeah. We kind of do that. The front load, we work, and then we don't see the reward until the very end.
Yeah. It can be months, if not longer. And I would say that it's not easy to be a real estate agent. But again, anyone can do it.
Yeah.
But you have to put in the work.
The barrier to get into real estate isn't high, but the barrier to be successful and to be a great agent is high because it requires a bunch of effort and a bunch of trying. It actually requires you to put in work. Well, another job, like a 9-to-5, is just you clock in, you clock out. Do we ever clock in and clock out?
We're always on the clock.
Exactly.
Yeah. We can, you know, set our boundaries, but a lot of times, especially if we're working with a buyer, maybe they work a 9-to-5, then we have to work after 5, we have to work weekends, and, you know, it's what we signed up for. But a lot of people think that we sell a home every week or every month, and for the average agent, that's not necessarily the case. So people just do math in their head thinking, all right, well, you sell a house every month, and I see that the average sale price for a house in Seattle is $800,000, so you must make a ton of money. Or if they look up how much a real estate agent makes online, the number they're seeing, again, is our gross commission. That doesn't take into account everything that we mentioned, like splits and taxes.
Kind of speaking on the idea about realtors just getting paid a bunch of money and how they have such a bad rep sometimes in the public, why do you think that is?
Well, I think shows such as Selling Sunset don't really help our image in the public eye. You know, people just see beautiful multi-million dollar homes and that's it. You don't see any other part of it. You just see them maybe showing someone.
Show the home and then they bought it.
And then they bought it and then it's done. So it's really not realistic at all. And even a show like House Hunters, which may seem a little bit more realistic as far as sort of what it's like to show a buyer multiple houses. But even that, did you know that they already have the house picked out before they do the show?
Well, that seems a little fake, right?
Yeah. So again, yeah, even shows like that, they really don't show the full picture. You know, we do more than just drive around and show houses. We do a lot of research. It takes a lot more time than these shows let on.
They only have 40 minutes for it.
No wonder they cut.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. But we're doing a lot of research on the back end for buyers, making sure that the house they're looking at doesn't have any underlying issues, whether that's on the title or on an inspection, or helping them learn more about the neighborhood and what other homes are selling for so that they're paying fair price. And then for sellers, you know, again, bringing up Selling Sunset, they're showing these beautiful homes that some of them may be staged, but at that price point, sometimes people have a home that has been curated and they've had, you know, a professional come in and design their entire house with their furniture and artwork and things like that. So we do a lot of that on our end to get a stager. We get it painted. We get it cleaned. We have a landscaper. We get a professional photographer. Maybe we get some drone footage depending on, you know, where it is. If we want to show off the proximity to Seattle or that you can see the space, you know, things like that. Yeah. Water views. There's so much more that goes into prepping the listing. We have to make the description. Once we upload the photos, you know, you want to put captions so people know what they're looking at. We want to make sure that all of the details of the home are correct. You know, what type of flooring is it? What type of heating is there? An oil tank. We see a lot of that. And see, people need to know what they're getting into with an oil tank. So there's just so many little things that people don't realize that go into it. And I think, again, people just see what's on TV.
Yeah, and with TV, because it's just the glamorous stuff is what they're going to be showing, all the million-dollar homes and all that stuff, because that's what people like looking at, when in fact, reality, it's not anything like that. And some people, they're just not informed on this stuff. And maybe they're like, well, realtor, we don't need that. We don't need a real estate broker. And they'll decide to sell their home by themselves. They're like, I can do all the work myself. What are kind of the biggest pitfalls you would see for sale by owner kind of forgetting or a step they miss in trying to sell their home?
I'd say that the biggest thing for people trying to sell their home without an agent would be the presentation of the home. And then after that, it would be the price. So presentation is everything from getting the home clean or staging it, or having professional photographers, and the online presence that you have when you list it. Some people will try to post it on mobile listing service, paying a smaller fee, but they still don't necessarily have the best photos, their price is off, they have an idea in their head, or they just used the estimate online and they think that that's their price.
Or they use the assessed value.
Yes, they could use the assessed value, which isn't necessarily correct either.
And if you watched one of my previous episodes, I talked about how the assessed value and the market value and even the appraised value, all those different values can be completely different because they're all done for kind of different reasons. And so for someone looking to sell their home by themselves, they'll just go to the tax records and could see, oh, my assessed value of the home is $700,000. That's listed for that. When in fact, market value very well could be $900,000. So then you're missing out on $200,000 in potential earnings when if you'd hired a real estate broker, you'd have gotten that expert knowledge and been able to put your home on the market for a much more competitive price.
And data shows that for sale by owner versus listing with an agent will get you almost 50% more for your house than if you listed it by yourself.
That's a big number right there. I don't know if anyone else wants 50% more for selling their home. I think everyone would.
Yeah, exactly. So I think sellers will be doing themselves a disservice if they're not using an agent.
They're also just putting the work on themselves when they could easily put it on someone who does it for, this is our lives. Our lives are helping people to sell their home and helping to buy their home when your life is doing whatever you do. You're an engineer, you're a school teacher, you're whatever. That's your life. Let us do our life in helping to sell your home. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah. And they wouldn't know how to necessarily do all the contracts as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the contracts are a huge part. There's so many forms. So much legal things that we have to deal with to make sure everything goes smoothly and legally.
Yeah, exactly.
So not only will sometimes people try to sell their homes by themselves, sometimes someone who's buying a home might say, I don't need an agent. I'll just go on Zillow, we'll go on and we'll find some, or I'll call that whoever's listing it and get the home that way. What do you think buyers kind of, when they're not using an agent, can miss out on that is very important?
I think there's a lot. Buyers deserve representation. And for one, I think buyers would really waste a lot of their time. They're going to be looking at homes that they don't realize themselves doesn't actually fit their criteria. It happens all the time. Buyers think they know what they want. And as we start looking, they realize that they need to refine their search, which is totally normal and totally fine. And you don't have someone to advocate for you, to help you maybe look past all the shiny, beautiful things in the house and really show you that there could be some hidden issues. And we want to make sure when we work with buyers that they know what they're getting into, that maybe they only have 5 years left on the roof and this is what it's going to cost to replace it. Or did we get a sewer scope? Because we need to know if this sewer is about to burst and you have a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 sewer bill.
Or more.
Yeah, we've heard some horror stories from other agents. So also the forms. Mm-hmm. They, you know, you could hire a lawyer to help you fill out the forms, but
why not just hire a real estate broker if you're going to be doing that?
Exactly. It can help you with the negotiation. We, like you said, we do this all day long. This is what we're good at. We're experts in the field. We're experts in the market that we work in, and we can help you narrow down what the actual market value of the home is or what you should pay. We don't want you to overpay. And if it's a multiple offer situation, we want to make sure if you really want the house that you want it. And if not, we can move on to the next home. You just really have someone in your corner. I think it's really important. Because we've shown houses to buyers who were like, love this house. It's beautiful. It's all fixed up. And we get an inspection. We find all of these hidden problems. And sometimes those things you can work past, but we're here to be able to negotiate on your behalf. You know, maybe we get a credit from the seller to fix some of these things. Or we have the seller fix it and get it inspected again, make sure everything was done correctly. So there's a lot.
Yeah. Also, all the contingencies potentially that you could put in your offers. Is a regular Joe on the streets going to realize all the potential contingencies and different things that they might want to add into an offer that could save them major league on the backside if something potentially goes wrong? That's another, I think, big point that a realtor can help to offer a buyer.
Absolutely. There's a lot of contingencies that people realize, like the title contingency, yeah, or even just knowing something as like reviewing the seller disclosure document,
yeah,
and looking for red flags if you know what to look for. But an average buyer isn't going to know, especially if it's their first time.
Mm-hmm. All righty. So now let's switch it up here and just get into kind of what the role of a real estate broker is.
Well, there's a lot to that answer.
And that's why I asked.
A realtor is your personal representative. They're your advocate. We want to make sure you're as informed as possible during the entire process of buying a home. We do research on your behalf to make sure that there's not anything that you're missing on the title. Maybe there's an easement that you don't know about. Maybe it's on a slope in a landslide area, and you need to know the risks that go along with that. Maybe you want a waterfront property, and you don't realize that your flood insurance could be really expensive.
Or with fire insurance now.
Yeah.
Nowadays, some places aren't insuring for that.
Exactly. Some states like California and Colorado aren't even giving insurance to homes that are in certain areas that there could be fires. So things like that people don't even realize, or making sure, again, that you get an inspection, or if the seller has an inspection posted for you, that you know what you're looking at and what those things are actually going to cost. Maybe you're okay with taking on projects, but you need to know what that general ballpark is going to be and how quickly you're going to have to take care of those things. You know, is it all within the next year that you're going to have to fix X, Y, and Z, and it's going to be tens of thousands? Or is it over the next 5 to 10 years that you're okay with, you know, planning it out and budgeting it? Yeah, managing it. So we want to make sure that you're not overpaying for the home and that you're paying a fair market value and helping you negotiate. Sometimes we can negotiate the seller to give a credit towards your closing costs or a rate buyout. So there's a lot of things that a realtor can do for you that most people would know on their own.
Another thing that I think kind of is a big role, connecting people with other people, like with all the landscapers, all just contractors, just kind of speak on like the relationship aspect that a realtor can bring to a client.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a great network of vendors, from roofers to painters, flooring experts, landscaping. We have people that can work on a river rock wall that you have on your home. You know, so there's very niche vendors that we can find for you. It's really great because we are able to refer these people that we've used before, and they know us, they trust us, and vice versa. And we're so happy that we can get our clients that great service. They, you know, have great rates, can work quickly. There's electricians, there's all kinds of people that we can,
That can just be a huge help to clients. As how is the average person going to know who to hire for whatever project it may be if they've never done that type of work before? Whereas us, we've worked with these people before and have a relationship. We can kind of vouch for them and they're good at their job. Otherwise, I don't imagine us as working with them.
Right.
So it's kind of like a stamp of approval that can be very useful to clients and just people when random home maintenance things come up. And that's another thing, that it's not just a real estate broker isn't just going to be helping you out with your transaction, but also in the years beyond it, when you need those referrals, you'll be able to send them out to those clients.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, we know agents all across the country. So if we know someone that's moving out of state, we can find them a great realtor, which is really great. And yet, if you're moving to a new place that you know nothing about, we can find a realtor that knows the neighborhood we want to live in, knows that city, and again, has all those connections, not only to vendors for your home, but maybe they know a great daycare for your kid. Maybe they can give you restaurant recommendations.
Just random things, but it's helpful. So next up, just what is kind of the biggest piece of advice that you would give to a first home buyer and then also like a first time home seller potentially?
For buyers, I'd say find a house that meets a good portion of your needs, but don't go out looking for perfection, because unless you have found a piece of land in your perfect neighborhood and are going to custom build your own home, it's not likely that you're going to find 100% of what you're looking for. So if you can find a home that, again, fits most of your needs, then you can change a lot of the things that maybe don't. You could fix the flooring, you can paint, you could even add on another room if you really needed to. But again, just getting into a home and starting to build equity is key. And it doesn't have to be your forever home either. You could stay there for 3 to 5 years, then you can build equity. And from there, you could sell it and move into maybe that next home as your dream home.
Or then one after that.
Exactly.
You just keep building your way up until you're where you want to spend the rest of your life.
Exactly. I think a lot of people want it to be there forever. And I get that. And sometimes people think it will be, and then 5, 10 years later, they realize it's not, or it's not anymore, because things change all the time.
Things change in people's lives. The houses change, new styles, new everything coming up. And not, I guess one of the big things is that idea of perfection, especially for a first time home buyer. Perfection is hard to come by, especially in the market of Seattle that we're at, which is a very competitive, high-priced home. So for first-time home buyers, it can be hard to jump right into the market and get that dream home.
Yeah.
But as long as the home you get has those good bones, it's in an area you like, it's speaking to you and you like it, then I would say, why not go for it and save up the money, build the equity, and then find the next home that you like even more.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did when I bought my first home. I wasn't in love with it the second I saw it, but I realized that it had good bones, I had hardwood floors, it had a big yard for my dogs, it was in a cute little neighborhood that I felt safe in, and it had, you know, the right amount of space. I've been there for 2 years now, and while I wish maybe my commute was a little bit shorter or I had a little bit more space, I'm just happy to have a home that I know what my monthly payment's going to be. I can do whatever I want to the house. And eventually, personally for me, I'll probably maybe rent it out or, you know, keep it as some sort of investment property or maybe add on to it. And then I can buy my next house from there because I'll have built that equity. It's important for buyers to have a realtor because they may see this beautiful home and it's in the perfect neighborhood, but it's on a steep slope and the driveway is super steep. We're there to talk to you and say, how about in the winter when it snows? How are you going to get your car out? Are you going to walk up this steep slope? There's no stairs here. You know, things like that that people just don't think about in the moment. And we're there to really step back and look at the big picture and make sure that you're not missing anything. Or it might be a home with tons of stairs. And maybe in the moment you think, oh, it's fine, it's a built-in gym. But maybe you realize down the line that you're going to get tired of those stairs. Yeah, and another thing with stairs, depending on the entry to the home that we've pointed out to people before, is let's say you get in your car and you're leaving and you realize you forgot something in your bedroom and it's two floors up. You got to go all the way back up to your bedroom. And just think about on your day-to-day life how that could be an issue when bringing groceries in, things like that. So people in the moment don't think about it because they're like, I love this house. It's beautiful. It's where I want it. It's fixed up. I don't have to do anything. But
as a real estate broker, we're kind of trained to see those little details, see those random niche things that no one would think about a home. When, matter of fact, it's very important. Those small details, is just small nuisances to someone, can be very annoying when they could have had a different home. They wouldn't have had to deal with that.
And even as a home buyer myself, when I was buying my house 2 years ago, even though I was already a realtor, I worked with a realtor from our office to help me because, you know, your emotions get up in play. At that point, it was a very hot market. Interest rates were low. There was multiple offer situations for any house and every house. And I'm ready to like give up everything, waive the inspection, give them all my money. And so having a realtor refocuses you and helps you set some boundaries and make sure that you're not making a mistake, because these purchases are usually the biggest purchase anyone will ever make.
Until your next one.
Until your next one, exactly. So for sellers, I would say that they need to prepare their home for the market. So painting, landscaping. If you have old dirty carpet, let's replace that carpet. Or maybe it can be cleaned and you can get it stretched and it'll look brand new. We've done that before too. And just really preparing it for people to see it and see all the potential that it has. And staging is a great way to do that as well. So it's really important. You know, people talk all the time about first impressions, and that's where the landscaping comes in, the painting and the staging helps people realize how they can see themselves living in the home. So those are the top things I would say a seller needs to do to get their home ready for the market.
Yep, those are all great points. What I see and what I've mentioned before here on RE Radar is when you're selling your home, you want it to be in almost a better condition than when you were living in it. You want that home to be in that as good as possible condition because you want that best light to be shining on your home, as that's going to attract the most buyers. That's going to be most likely to make it sell for that higher price that you want.
And those are things that you'll most likely get your money back on too. Mm-hmm. You'll see that return on investment. And, you know, adding a pool isn't, you know, going to get you your money back. And, you know, there's things like that that people think, or do I need to renovate the whole kitchen? Maybe you don't need to renovate the kitchen. Maybe you just replace the flooring or just paint the cabinets or just get a new countertop.
Just those a few small touches, refresh it a bit, make it look almost brand new, but it's simply just small detail work that you did that can make a big impact, because overall, it can shine that home in a better light. Alrighty, so now it looks like we've got time for just about one more question, and we're just going to wrap it up here with, why did you become a realtor?
That's a great question, Nathan. I love to answer that. I became a realtor because I love to help people realize their potential. I used to be a manager and a leader for over a decade, and in that realm, it was a lot more about helping people realize their potential in like a professional setting, like maybe what their future job would be or the role they play there. And as a realtor, I love helping people realize their potential when it comes to owning a home and the potential that their home has. So personally, I didn't know that I could afford a home as quickly as I did until I spoke to a lender and realized that I could in fact buy a house. And it was really exciting. And yeah, there was some factors to that. I was paying down a little bit of debt, trying to get my credit score up, and I bought my first home. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not my dream home that I want to be in forever, but the fact that I'm building equity is huge. I love helping people realize that they can do the same. And this sounds a little bit cheesier, but I've always looked houses since I was a little kid. I would be like, Mom, can we go to this open house and can we buy this $1 million house? Like, as if it was no big deal. I was not even making any money yet as a kid. So I was just always intrigued by family members' houses, friends' houses, just where I grew up driving around. I would notice all the different types of homes. I would wonder what they looked like on the inside. So this is really a dream job, a dream career for me, because I'm learning about everything that I've wanted to know since I was a kid. It's something I'm truly passionate about, and I'm happy, you know, coming to the office every day knowing that I get to learn more about houses and help people realize their potential.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Laura. And so stay tuned, everyone, as we're wrapping up this episode. Stay tuned for next episode, episode 4, which in episode 4, I'll be interviewing someone else. That someone else is going to be Tina Mitchell, who is Senior Loan Officer at Highlands Mortgage. So that's going to be a really informational episode on the mortgage and the financing side of the real estate industry. But until then, see you next time.